Tonight we'll be finishing our series on the Great Hall of Faith of Hebrews 11. Verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured much contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Have you ever been through a hall of fame? I know that there's a few of them in all the sports. Every sport has their own Hall of Fame. And I try to imagine going through a baseball Hall of Fame, right? You go through and so, and I didn't do a lot of research on this, forgive me. So-and-so hit this many home runs, and they've got the record. You know what? That's impressive. All right, well, that's a lot of home runs. But you know what the disconnect is for me? I'm never going to hit that many home runs. I'm probably never going to be up at bat at a professional baseball game. And that's okay by me, because something about standing behind the plate as a ball whizzes by at 90 miles an hour, it doesn't seem very appealing to me. Oh, sure, at one time, at a certain age, that would have been the dream. But I'm older, bigger, and a lot slower. And that's not appealing to me anymore. Right? You go through all this. This person stole this many bases. This person covered this many yards in football. And you go through, and that's a very pleasant thing. It's a very wonderful thing. But there's always that disconnect. You always get to be in awe of it from the perspective of somebody who's not expected to run that many yards and score that many points and play for as long as they have. When we go through the Great Hall of Faith, though, it's different. Because for lack of a better phrase, that's your game. That's your career. That is your purpose in life. And as we walk through this Hall of Faith, it's important for us to remember that the things that these people, men and women, have achieved are expected of us. Oh, sure, we don't have to knock down walls or survive a night in the lion's den or lead great battles, no. But demonstrating and living that kind of faith is our responsibility. It is something that each and every one of us is expected to do. Now, don't let that intimidate you, because it is something every single last one of us can do. We went through and we listed all these things that these wonderfully faithful people did, didn't we? I thought we did a good job. I mean, we enumerated it very well. Sometimes going back to the original text, just to make sure we properly have what it is that they're committed for, well understood. But you know what we also did? We looked at some of their failures. We looked at some of their temptations. We understand that these people, we're frail as we are. We're as limited as we are. And that, instead of upsetting us, should comfort us. Because they are flawed in the same way that I am flawed. They were made in the same way I was made. And as we go on through the New Testament, we could add more names to the list of the faithful. We see more people who struggle the same way we do, having the same second birth that we do. It is important for us, and I want you to consider this, it's important for us to understand that these people were no different in capability than you are. Now listen, maybe you can't spend the night in the lion's den, right? Maybe your back won't let you do it. Maybe you're not young enough anymore to lead a great battle. Praise the Lord, he probably won't ask you to. Ain't none of us getting recruited today. Right? Well, maybe some of you younger ones. We're not up for recruitment today. But I'll tell you this. We face certain battles every day. We face certain tests. And there are certain commands that God has given us we are called to step up into. There are other things, trials of life that come by that require for us to stand up. Samson was a very, he was a sinful man. He gave in a lot to his lusts and to his desires. But when the time came, he stood up and did what was expected of him. Each and every one of us can see our failures in them, as well as we can see the capability of God to take someone who struggles and do great things. So when those trials come, we have the ability to see someone who's done it before, step up and do the same thing. Again, looking back at our first verse there, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We too are surrounded by people. And what are they doing? They are watching. Let us run. I tell you what, if there is a giant to be slain, let us do it. If there is a gospel to be preached, and I promise you there is, let us be the ones to preach it. If there is doctrine to stand up for, and believe me, my friends, it is under attack, let us be the ones that stand up for the doctrine. Whose doctrine? The Word of God. And what it says, that is what we are. That is who we, that is what we're supposed to be doing. What does he say there? Let us do what? Lay aside every weight. Now, first you look at that, you say, every weight. Okay, what is he talking about? Well, first, is he talking about sin? No, we're about to talk about sin, which means the weight and the sin, those are two different things. What weights do we have that slow us down in our faith? Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's a lack of motivation. Sometimes I hear people talk, and the way they talk makes me think that they are waiting for some validating moment in their lives to make them stand up and be faithful. Let me tell you this, there is not a thing man, woman, whoever could tell you that would make you strong enough to be faithful. That is a call you must make. It is not the responsibility of others to make you feel so good and feel so confident and bestow something upon you so you can be faithful. You got to do it. I mean, and we'll look at this later. I mean, has the Lord not done enough? Has he not saved your soul? Has he not given you the Holy Spirit? Has he not doled out upon you teaching and doctrine and blessings and ability? Has he not done those things? What more are we really waiting for? If we have all those things, what more do we wait for? Well, it's not my fault. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. So? You think God is so limited? Well, I wasn't saved till later in life. You think God's restricted by that? My personal favorite, well, I ain't intelligent enough. Believe me, God knows how intelligent you are, and you're far more than you probably think you are. You're far more. We use our lack of education, or we use certain things as a crutch, as an excuse. And I'll tell you this, I've known a lot of people who found themselves on the short end of stick of resources and still came through and still fought hard. That is what we are, because that is what God has made us to be. So we've got to lay aside the weight. We make our excuses. Oh, we hang on to our excuses, right? Hey, son, go out and mow the lawn. Dad, I can't. Why not? Can't find my shoes. Sorry. You know? Well, I think my dad told me one time, he goes, you're about to have a shoe thrown at you if you don't get out there. Right? Excuses. Hey, listen, you know, we've got these. We'd really like for you to show up. We got this work day coming up. Ah, I can't. That's my hair washing day. Hey, listen, we're getting together for prayer band at 6 o'clock. Very good if the church, you know, if everybody in the church could show up for it. Ooh, you know, dinner's going to run a little bit long. I got to get my 3-hour nap in. Can't do it. No, come on. Come on. You know, as I often tell people, you know that quote from that celebrity, sleep a little faster, you'll be all right. Sleep a little faster. We must put the things of God before all other things, right? We must take that stance. Hey, you know, I'd love to pray today, Lord, but, you know, between, you know, burning my oatmeal and needing to rush off to get to this appointment, and you know what? It took me a lot longer to tie my shoes today. I was just too busy. How many episodes of that show you watched today? Okay. You had time. How about Bible reading? Oh, you got no idea how busy I am. You know what? I tell you this. Been a part of a lot of teams that had to fix a workload problem. And I'll tell you this, almost every workload problem I've ever found at any site I ever worked at came down to this. People not being as properly organized nor taken care of as they should be. What is it that chefs do? You ever see what chefs do? They prepare everything ahead of time. They chop it all up. It's called mise en place. They get everything put together, right? So that way when you're cooking, you just grab the ingredients, you send it on its way, you do more, right? That's how they do it. Your putting things together every day would be better if you had the organization of prayer and Bible reading in your life. I've sat there so often. Well, hey, listen, you are missing this fundamental and basic organizational tactic in your work, and it's throwing everything off. You don't understand, we don't have time to do that. You got the cart before the horse. You put things together the way they ought to, and you'll see things fall back into line where they should be. You got one thing out of place, it throws it all off. You need to get your life right with the Lord. It will slow you down. Throw the excuses off. What about this? Some we don't give in to temptation, but our lives are filled with temptation. And we don't quite fall into it, but it slows us down. Because we're always surrounded by it. We're not given the proper nutrients of the Word. We're not given the proper watering of the Word. So we begin to struggle a little bit. Our run struggles because we've got that extra weight of temptation. Throw it aside. And there are hindrances upon hindrance. That television can be a hindrance. That extra hobby that you got that started off as just a small thing and you were having a lot of fun with, that became your day in, day out excuse for why you're not serving the Lord, why you're not reading your Bible. Hey, that is a hindrance. Put it back in its place. Put it back in its place. Again, not wrong to have a hobby. It's a good thing for you, but it has to have its place. It has to stay in its place. The next thing they say is not just the weight, but the weight and the sin. What more could be said than what is clearly worded in, clearly stated in the Word of God, that sin will mess up your life? I've known many a life tossed about and destroyed, giving into sinful impulses, by giving into things that the Bible says you ought not do. And I'm not saying that they were destroyed from my perspective, from my narrow-minded Baptist perspective, but from an honest anybody looking at it can see there's something wrong with it perspective. There's some failure there. There's some disruption there. Look at the destruction of it. That's what sin will do. And all it takes, all it needs, is a little bit of compromise. We got to take that sin. We've got to get it out. Many folks today, they struggle with their Christian walk because they do not remove sin from their lives. It holds on to us. It slows us down. It messes with us. We need to get a belly full of it. We need to get sick of it and want it so far gone. So that we can run properly. So we can run properly. We've got this baby carrier. And I've got a race coming up here at the end of the summer I'm trying to get ready for. Not doing a great job of it, sister, just struggling. But I got this weight carrier, and it'll hold enough. It'll hold probably enough for Caspian. I could probably throw Caspian in it. I'm struggling with this. There ain't no way I'm putting him in there, right? Anybody looking at me going, look at that fool. He's going to die. And what we don't realize is when we're carrying around our sin and we're carrying around these weights and we're doing things we ought not to be doing, that's how foolish we look to the Lord. Hey, don't you know it'd be a whole lot easier if you took those weights off? You know what drives me nuts? You see people at a foot race and they got those little ankle weights on. You ever see those? Got those ankle weights on them? Now, listen, if you're just going for exercise, you're trying to tone up, get your heart in shape, I understand that. But if you're running a race and you're going for the prize and you've got those on, what's wrong with you? Take about 10 pounds off those feet, whip those weights off, and you run. Now, the prize that we have as we run for the Lord is much higher and much better than anything you could get at a finish line down here on earth. I tell you what, I want to tear this path up to get to the point to where the Lord says, well done. Well, and speaking of races, there was one of those obstacle course type ones I thought I could do. It was comical. I wish somebody would have put a camera on it. I would have made money, right? We would have been real good. You know, I climbed up this thing, and I couldn't get over the rope ladder. I think I told you about this. Couldn't get over the rope ladder. And I sat there and I looked down. It was about 20 foot down. And I fought. I couldn't get my leg over. And I thought, you know, if I put my leg over this thing and I go down the other side, what's the prize? And I thought about it. A little piece of metal. Ribbon around it. I go, now if I come down off of this thing, what's the prize? Same thing. So you know what I did? I stopped trying to fall and I just came down. A little embarrassing. But I tell you what, I almost drowned on that race. I made a fool out of myself in that race. Why? Because I wasn't in shape for it, all right? I should have known better. That prize wasn't worth it to me. You know, I got a job to do. I got kids to feed. I fall off of this thing. Who's going to feed them? So I'm just coming down. In the race that we call life, the prize is worth it. The prize is worth the risk. The prize is worth saying no to some things. The prize is worth battling with yourself to get things done. Now we see here that it's the lay aside every weight and the sin which doth what? So easily beset us. To look that word up, beset, it means to slow, to confound. These things, what do? They limit us. Oh, no, brother, what I'm watching, what I'm doing, people I'm hanging around, sin in my life, it ain't slowing me down. How would you know if you've never run faster? How would you know if that's always the way you've run? Right? You have no idea. Lay it aside. See how fast you go. Lay it aside. See what you can do. Take that time. Give your heart and mind over to the Lord. Allow no other entertainment, no other distraction than that which edifies in godliness. And you come back in 2 weeks and tell me how it went. You turn off the worldliness. You turn off the sin. You leave all of it out of your life. And I'm telling you, you'll notice the difference. Oh, won't it be hard for the first few days? Absolutely. And then as you go on, you begin to realize, I could have been living like this the whole time. This is nice. I like this. So what we must do is we must lay these things aside because they'll slow us down. They'll beset us. Don't you hate being the slow one? Would it surprise you to know that when I did, you know, exercises in gym class in high school, would it surprise you to know that I was last? In almost every race. Wouldn't surprise you at all. Every time I ran, man, I was almost in the last of the pack. Just right there next to that one kid who refused to do anything at all. I'd always beat him. But in fairness, he didn't try anything at all. You know, so I'd be sitting last in line. It's awful, isn't it? to be the bottom of the pack, to be the one who loses every time. I absolutely hate that. So why would we tolerate it in spirituality? Why would we tolerate it? You know, I'm not one for video games. We're goofing around. It was kind of a cloudy, nasty day playing video games. We realized that one of the games you could put in these codes would give you special powers. And you just do stuff and go through it. Nothing could stop you. Nothing could hurt you. You just fly through the thing. As a Christian, you have a cheat code in life. God will give you strength to do things. God will give you boldness to do things. And the cheat code's not even cheating. All you got to do is what? Ask. You tired of being slow? You tired of losing? You tired of being the person who always seems to be at the whims and the will of their sin? No, we could, like we did this morning, we talk about crucifying the flesh. We put him in his place, put her in her place. That old person, that old nature, we put that on the cross. We don't have to lose to that. As a matter of fact, there's no excuse nor reason to lose to that. To lay aside these things that beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with patience. Now, why is patience so important? Because I'll tell you what, when you first start off, it ain't going to look so good. Oh, man, out of 7 days, I only prayed 4 of them. This ain't working. No, you did 4. Next week, let's go for 7. And next week after that, let's go for 7. We're not going to give up on this race just because we missed a few mile markers. We're not going to give up on this running just because we're not going as fast nor as smoothly as we think we ought to go. Because I'll tell you what, that'll mess with your head. You know, hey, all right, I set out to read this many chapters this week, and I didn't get half of them done. That's a bummer. Well, happy new week. Here we go. Well, what do I do about this missed up? You didn't miss it. You're going to start right there, and you're going to go ahead. Well, that throws me off for the year. Well, there's this other thing you could do. Read more. Put a little bit more in there. Catch up. But that should encourage you. I've already fallen behind a little. I don't want to fall behind more. Run with patience. Why didn't I give the gospel when I had that opportunity? Why didn't I stop and do this? Why did I mess this up, mess that up? These things will get in your head. You need to push them aside. Be patient with your race. But don't forget the first two things we talked about, where we're laying aside the nonsense and running. Right? Lay it aside and run. But run with patience. Right? I get that all the time. Drives me nuts. You know, running. And all of a sudden, here comes this person, twice my age, speed walking past me. My legs are burning. My lungs hurt. My heart feels like it's about to pop out and do a dance. And here comes this lady. You're doing really good, sweetie. Just speeds walk by me like she's going out to get the newspaper. Drives me nuts! You know how easy it would be sometimes to just be like, well, all right, I'm going home. I'm going home. But you got to decide, is that how you want it to be done? Do you want to be that person who missed 3 Bible readings that week and quit again? Do you want to be that person who missed an opportunity to serve the Lord and obey Him? You missed it, so you missed the rest of them. You threw it away. You came across one question in the test you didn't know the answer to. So instead of answering the rest of the page, you just threw the thing away. I don't want to be that person. You want to be that person? I want to run the race. And I may come out of this thing just beat red, barely breathing. Lord might have to give me oxygen across the finish line into heaven. I don't know. As beat up as I'm going to be, I'd rather be beat up than come limping in with some sad excuse of, well, it was too hard and I lost patience. I failed too many times. It got under my skin and I lost it. So what should we do then? Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let me tell you this. If you are running to impress any person on earth, you're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. If your reason, your example for running is anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to mess up. Why? Because if you put anybody in his spot and they fall, guess what you'll do? You'll fall. How many times have you talked to a Christian, faithful in church, faithful attender, serving the Lord, and all of a sudden they just stopped? You talk to them. You go to church. Oh, no, I don't go to church anymore. That pastor, my mom, my dad, this person, that person. The reason for running was that person. When that person proved to have a lack of integrity, they gave up the race. My friends, your race is not to impress me. I ought not to be the example for your race. We look to the Lord. We look to the Lord. Men and women, we'll make things easier. We'll set a low bar. We'll encourage poor behavior sometimes. We'll demonstrate poor behavior sometimes. You know who never moves the mark? The Lord Jesus Christ. He never changes the pace. He always makes it possible, always helps us out, always is willing to forgive us for our failings, but is always there to keep us going. If you're struggling with your race, you need to look no further than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is both the author and the finisher of our faith, Him being the Word. Remember, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the author of it. He is the faith. And as He sat up on that cross, and He hollered out those words, "It is finished." Salvation came down to man. Our sin atoned and paid for. All we would need to do is repent of our sins, trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we would have redemption. All it takes is repentance. He was the author. He was the finisher. So who do I look to? Him. I look to Him. What should I do, Lord? I've got this problem. It seems insurmountable to me. What should I do? Hey, I've got this opportunity. How do I approach it? Hey, there's this thing that you've asked me to do. What is it exactly I should be thinking? What is it I should be doing in my planning to achieve this thing? We look to Him, and that's not just a metaphor. We got to be in the book. We got to glean those things. How is it that the Lord thinks? What is it that He commands of me? What is it that I'm supposed to do? I look to the Lord by looking to this book. It's reading, it's teaching, and oh yes, it's preaching. We got to look at all those things. We got to focus. Focus on the Lord. We got to focus on the race. Right? The rules of the game, the rules of life are written down for you. They're in your lap. You don't need to look far for it. You know how many people we see? How many people you see out there? They're looking for how to live at the bottom of a bottle, either glass or plastic from a prescription. If I just find the right combination of things to put in my body, my brain will work right. Let me tell you this, if you're a child of God, you don't have this, you're never going to find that balance. Never. Sedating yourself won't do anything near what the Lord could do if you just listened to Him. If you just obeyed Him. We got to follow the rules. Well, why is it that I'm struggling? Are you following the rules? You know, it seems like every time I get out there, something happens and I get in trouble. And this happens or that happens. I get a disqualification. I get told I'm not doing right, whatever. You know what? You'd probably not be told you're doing something wrong if you weren't doing something wrong, right? I found sometimes when you preach, every now and then you see a face and it gets angry. Can't remember where I was. It wasn't here, but I was preaching. And this lady goes, oh. And I was preaching a very shallow doctrine. You don't get deep into stuff at other people's churches. But she was very comically upset by something. You know what? Maybe that wouldn't bother you Had you studied this passage of Scripture before? Maybe the preacher won't offend you. Maybe you wouldn't feel corrected. Maybe you wouldn't feel guilt if there was nothing there to feel guilty of. I mean, Achan, could you imagine the shaking of his bones as they're trying to suss out who was it that had sinned, and he knew full well what he had in his tent. You don't have stuff in your tent, you ain't got stuff to worry about, I'm telling you. You're unwell, you don't have the worry. You don't have the anxiety. You don't have the frustration. Because there's nothing to be anxious about. God's got me, and I ain't got nothing he don't like. I got it. We got to focus on the race. By looking at the Lord, we'll be able to tell the pace we're running. You know, I got a watch. Tells me how quick I'm moving. And quick is a stretch. Quick is a stretch of the word. But it'll tell me, all right, you're at 16-minute mile. Now, sometimes I can get down to a 15, and that's pretty good. When I'm in shape, I can do even better. That's all right, there I am. So if I want to finish this race before they all go home, I need to be done at this. You think it's a joke, but it's not. If I want to get there by the time they're still there, I got to run this many miles. So you set the watch. You know what my watch will do? If I go slower, it'll vibrate on my wrist. Go faster. Okay. And then I'll go for a while and I'll say, okay, all right. Just get that little, get going. Hey, that's what I'm doing for you up here behind this pulpit. I preach the precious truth of God. And there you are in your life going up. There it is. I slowed the pace. We focus on this word. We focus on the Lord. It'll tell you how well you're doing. All right, I tell you what. You know, used to be when they would preach on that, I'd have all kinds of rebellion, all kinds of anger to say back at that. But now I understand it. And it's been years since I've done that. And praise the Lord, he's protected me from that, right? That tells you your pace. I'm doing well. You know, I've heard 15 sermons. I wasn't guilty of anything he preached. Amen, right? Excited about that. I'm not teasing. It's exciting. Tells you your pace. Some folks, man, every time I get up there, he preaches on something I'm doing wrong, like he knows. Well, let me tell you this. I don't normally know, right? Now, you come in and you tell me, I'll know. But most likely, I was preaching on that anyway. My point is this. We look to the Word of God, and we be honest with ourselves, and we measure up against the Lord, and we'll see how good we're doing. You know, I sat for 5 sermons. Each one was about something I'm doing wrong, and it was a different sermon every time. That's bad. Go faster. You have a problem with your prayer because you feel guilt. You have a problem with your service to the Lord because you feel anxiety about the stuff you're hiding in your tent. Get going. Let's get it right. Well, I mean, it's hard to live your life that way. Well, yeah, it's called a race. Races ain't easy. If races were easy, we'd do them all the time, wouldn't we? Life is not always easy. Life has its problems. Life has its unsolvables. But I'll tell you what, nothing's unsolvable to the Lord. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. So it is Him we keep our eyes on. It is Him we are paying attention to. Even in a NASCAR race, you got the pace car, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ setting the pace for us, telling us what must be done. Some folks, they like to look at where they are in the race. Am I first? Am I last? You know, me, I don't look, at least not too often, because I got a good idea. I can pretty much tell you where I am towards the bottom, because when I turn around, there ain't too many people back there. I think the last one I did was in February, and I think one of the last few people that crossed did so, like, in the medevac thing. Just, they drove him in on the, I'm like, all right, well, I beat that guy. That was for sure. Now, where am I? You know, Lord, am I close to you? Am I close to you? You know, when I sit there and say that in the pack of all the sheep that follow after you, am I one of those sheep that are right there? Or am I that one that has to be reminded? That one who has to be whistled for all the time? The one that easily falls away from the pack? The one that's always having to get rescued from the lions and the wolves and the bears? Am I that one that he has to leave the 99 to go and get? Well, what am I? If I am looking at the Lord, and I'm paying attention to such things, I will see where I am. And I will have a desire to follow closer. And that is how faith has grown. That's how faith has grown. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Philippians 2:22 says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Excuse me. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. When we look at that phrase there, he endured such, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. He came down to this earth. And I'll tell you this, the way we live ain't nothing like how they live up in heaven. Those angels, his father, way different companions than us. How often did Jesus, as he walked the earth, rebuke his followers for their lack of faith? He even laid out the roadmap. Hey, I'm going to die 3 days later. I'll rise again. Who was there to greet him? Who was there with a change of clothes? Something to wash himself off with? Something to doll up some of the wounds that he took? Who was there for it? No one. The people that were there, they were there to say goodbye for the last time. They were there to prepare a dead body, not meet a risen again Savior, despite the fact that he made it clear. O ye of little faith, he says. O ye of little faith. Such a of who he is, and not just that, but to leave a place where no sin was allowed, to come down to earth where every man just does what they want, and we follow our feelings and our impulse, and we live in a cursed earth, and we have all these problems and all these things that go on that are caused by our own sin. What a contradiction! I mean, talk about a bright light in the midst of darkness. That is what he was. And you know what he did? For all the adversity around him, for all of the people that pushed back against him and said awful things, and as he would get up and teach, there'd be the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes to sit there and question and run their mouths and just kind of sit there and try to go against him. He sat there and he conquered and he did. Well, brother, that's easy because he was God. Can I ask you a question? Who's helping you? If he could do it himself, you think he could help you? Well, I do. I think he can. And believe you me, no one knows how limited I am like I do. Right? Outside of the Lord, I'm your best shot at knowing just how limited I am. And I firmly believe that God in all of his power and all of his glory could help me to get the job done. That's what I believe. Because I put that much faith in him. That despite my failures, despite my weaknesses, despite where I am not strong, he is. Philippians 2:22 again, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Surrounded by a world of sin, he didn't do it. You know what that shuts up? Our ability to say, well, that's what everyone is doing. You're not supposed to be doing what everyone is doing just because everyone else is doing it. Can I remind you of what your mother always used to say to you here on Mother's Day? If they jumped off a bridge, would you jump off with them? Now, that's a bad question because I had some weird friends. They would jump off a bridge, especially if that water was deep enough, you know. Water was deep enough, we'd do so with a rope. But, you know, we're not supposed to follow the just because that's the way the crowd is going. Straight is the gate. Broad is the path of destruction, though, right? Broad is the path of destruction. We're not supposed to do what everybody else did. Christ didn't. And again, I remind you, he's the one helping you. If he can do it for himself, certainly he could help you. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Hey, all the temptation in the world to be angry, to fight, to be awful, to be as awful as people were to him, it was all there. But he didn't do it. Why? Well, the answer is right there, isn't it? He threatened not, but committed himself to who? To him that judgeth righteously. He was committed to his Father. Oh, that we would have such commitment. Oh, that we would have the same motivation and the same drive. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, how many sins of his did he take up there? None. He took yours. And that's a weight you don't have to carry anymore. Because he paid for it. So what limits do we really have? Outside of the ones we choose for ourselves. Outside of the, well, I'll obey this, but I won't obey that, that we do. Being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. See, we got something out of this. Not only did our sin get paid for, but we got righteousness. As though we never sinned. Righteousness. There's no limitation to our ability to act in faith. There's no limit to it. There's nothing that should really stop us. Outside of the fact that we do not drive as hard as we should. Now as we read this last verse back in verse 12, verse 3 again. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And I tell you what, every race, every game, every trial and contest is won or lost in the mind first. You go into something, I ain't going to be able to do this. Guess what? It's going to be harder. It's going to be more difficult. Had a conversation with the boys back there. Yep, just making sure I got eye contact. Had a conversation with the boys back there this afternoon. We were waiting. We took mommy out to lunch because I don't know why. Why do you go out to eat on a Mother's Day? It's like the worst day. Boy, took mommy out because we love her. We're waiting there. And what happens when kids have to wait a while to go get sit down? This is taking a long time. I'm hungry. Wow, we're here for a while. I tried to explain, as what was explained to me. You know, if you're going through something difficult and you whine about it, not only is it more difficult for you, but it's more difficult for everybody around you with ears. Oh, okay, sorry. You know? We come in with a bad attitude. The more we think about what could go wrong, the more we think about the discomfort, the more we think about, well, oh, man, when I get done with this race, I'm going to this, or that. Oh, it's difficult to always maintain this pace, blah, blah, blah. You got a bad attitude, you're going to have a bad time. But I come in knowing the grace of God. I come in knowing his commands, knowing his power, knowing the ability, and that race is going to go smooth. It's going to go well. Why? Because I relied on him. Because I trusted in him. Right? This mind right here has to be so closely connected to the Lord in my thought process to be able to step in and say, all right, this is what we know God would do. This is what we know God says. So there's nothing here to be worried about. Nothing here to be frustrated. It's like your doctor, he'll warn you something. Hey, now listen, you're going to give you this medication. This medication is going to have these side effects. And you go, okay, doc. And you take the medication and the side effects show up. Doesn't bother you at all. But if you weren't taking medication and those side effects showed up, how'd you feel? Wee bit nervous, right? Wee bit nervous. All right, listen, it's going to make you very drowsy. So later when you get really drowsy, you go, I got it. And there it is. Now, if you're just sitting around and you weren't taking that medication, you got that drowsy, that's a bad sign, right? The Lord has warned us of trials, tribulations, persecutions, hard times, illnesses, death. We're going to have those things here on earth. And he warns us, hey, when that happens, this is what you ought to do. And we go, okay, this is what the Lord said would happen. Now what do I do? You win that battle in your mind. You'll achieve victory. You'll run well. But don't grow weary in your mind. Don't become blasé. Don't become apathetic. And don't let the fact that you're struggling a little bit confuse you that it ain't going well. Right? Oh, this is hard. This isn't comfortable for me. That doesn't mean you're not doing well. My legs are really getting tired. You know, some of you are at that point. Legs are getting tired. You know what? You stay in there. I don't mean you ain't running well. Don't mean you're not doing good. Keep at it. Keep pushing. Why? Because falling backwards ain't going to help you none. Slowing down ain't going to help you none. As a matter of fact, it's going to make things a whole lot worse. A whole lot worse. You ever see those, I'm not a big fan of horror movies, but could you imagine running from something in one of those movies? And all of a sudden my watch goes off. Okay, it says I can walk now. No, you run. Right? You're running through a neighborhood, dog gets out, he's chasing you. Yeah, but my watch says I should walk. No, run. Bite you. Right? Slowing down's only going to hurt you. That old nature, the world, your old way of thinking, the devil himself back there is wanting you to quit running. He wants you to backslide. He wants you to walk away. He wants you to give up on your walk with the Lord. But you've got everything on earth that says keep going. Every resource, every ability. You've even got a book full of strategy on how to do it. Just as those people stood up and showed their faith, with all of their flaws and all of their failures, they stood up, full-bodied sin nature like you got. They stood up and did good. You can do the same. And should do the same. Now, this isn't to shame you. We're all sitting here, sin natures, failures in our mind, things where we know we're not running right, right? My posture's wrong. My feet aren't moving right, whatever. Hey, I'm not reading this. I'm not studying that. I'm not faithful here. I'm messing up there. We're all here with that, right? Should encourage us to know that other people have failed in the ways that we have, and they still ran well. So we can too. The same God that powered them on, powers you on. And we ought not discount that in our minds. Run well. Won't happen if we don't lay aside what we got to lay aside. Won't happen if we don't follow the instruction of the author and finisher of our faith. But we do those things, you will run well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for this time to be in your house. Lord, I just humbly ask that you help each and every one of us to lay aside the sin and the weight that besets us. Lord, help us to be tired of how besought we are, that we would want to run faster, run better. Lord, we don't know how long this race is going to be for any one of us. For all I know, your son could come tonight. Lord, for all I know, any one of us could pass tonight. So, Lord, I pray that with what time we've got left, minutes, hours, days, years, whatever, that, Lord, you help us to run well. Help us to be an example. Help us, Lord, to be strong. We love you, Lord, and according to your Son, the only way to show love is to keep the commandments. So, Lord, help us to do just that, to please and honor you, and to run well. For its name of Jesus we pray. Amen.